This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
You know what that means? It's time for another Limitless Express. Bob and I having a very interesting conversation here, Limits, and I'm sorry to interrupt early in your express here, early on the train ride.
No worries.
Bob never knew the history of me and Seibel almost getting in a fight in the parking lot here.
I didn't know the history of you and Seibel almost getting into a fight.
What?
No idea.
Well, it was no secret that things weren't going swimmingly, and it was maybe my fault more than his, but we almost came to blows in the parking lot, Bob. Terry Fox, our old programming director, stood between us. It was absolutely incredulous. I thought that was a well-known part of station lore.
And then I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that happened. And then, Bob, without naming names, you told me of some episodes from the showdown where
we've had some disagreements that escalated a little bit before they came. Unfortunately, it never got
Was there ever a punch thrown?
No. Could have been, but no.
Wow.
But that's how passionate people are who have opinions about certain things. And if you go against some of them, some people don't take it the right way.
And so. Pony said he got a phone call from one panelist one night who didn't like what Pony said. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Limits, have you ever been in a fight in media circles?
No, maybe a brief argument, but that's really nothing that got close to the altercation that you were describing.
Did I ever tell you about the guy from Canada, Bob, who cracked me on the rear end with a microphone? That didn't sound right.
You've been involved in a lot of interesting situations here.
Listen, no, I'm a little volatile, especially when I'm trying to feed my family, so to speak. This was after a game, I believe it was game 2, Rangers-Penguins, a cup run where Jeff Zatkoff played game 1. Remember that, Bob?
Zatkoff, yes. He was an unexpected starter. He was not supposed to start, right? I mean, that was...
Yeah. That was a shock, and then he played great.
And he played very well.
So after game 2, I think the Penguins won that one too, or maybe they lost. I don't remember. One of the games in that series, Henrik Lundqvist was sitting in the visiting room at the arena. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Tiny little room. There's a giant hockey bag between him and the scrum of reporters, and I'm left out. And I've got to get quotes from Lundqvist. I've got to get them. So I jumped over the hockey bag to get a quote, to get my tape recorder in there, and apparently jumped into the camera angle of the camera guy from, I don't know where he's from, Quebec or somewhere.
I've seen many of these. Scrums result in a lot of disagreements about where you're supposed to stick your arm.
Right. So, or he said I jumped in front of him. I don't know. I felt like I had a right to, and then he has to adjust. I've got to get the quotes. I don't really give a crap. You want to push me? I'll push you. There's jostling, whatever. So afterward, I'm interviewing someone else in the Rangers locker room, and this little guy, their TV guy, comes up and takes his mic and whack right off my rear end, like hard. And I turn around, and I'm not usually ready to fight, but I was ready to fight, but was thinking that wouldn't be a good thing for my career to get in a fist fight in the locker room. Like, he did it sneakily, so nobody saw it. And then we got back to the main room, and the camera guy was there, and I started yelling at him. He started yelling at me, and then everybody was noticing what was going on. And then this dude came in, and I said, I guess your job's more important than mine, and if you ever do that again, there's going to be a problem here. We're yelling. Everybody was noticing. Mark Madden was sitting there. He was noticing. It was unbelievable.
He was ready to become a ring announcer again for some kind of bout.
And I saw Bob Smyzik in Toronto get into, I thought it was a shoving match. Maybe he would disagree, but it was with the Canadian media, and it was again with camera people, and Bob got physical in there, to my recollection. Sometimes he sends me emails and tells me my recollections aren't correct, but he must remember. I think this one was either at the Air Canada Center or all the way back at Maple Leaf Gardens. Have you ever gotten into a physical jostling match over TV print type situations?
No.
A yelling match?
I never try to let it get to that point. You know, I always try to accommodate and without losing a spot that I have. I understand people trying to get it, and I know how those camera guys are. They work hard, and there's angles, and you can get blocked out of something.
Yeah.
So I get it all. Sometimes I think it's better to just have a, like they do now. They put a microphone at a podium,
yeah,
even in the locker room with a background, and just do it that way. It's a little bit more organized, and it doesn't lead to any of these kind of confrontations.
It's a frog-eat-frog world out there, Bob. A dog-eat-dog world, I mean.
It's like Super Bowl. Like, if you go to Media Day, so they just had that at the Superdome. While the guys are sitting at, you know, desks with podiums, and the movement going on with people trying to jump over one another to get closer, a better shot,
I mean,
it's
unbelievable. You have to get your quotes, you know, or else you got to call your editor and say, I don't have quotes from, and this was in the day and age where you couldn't just go back to Twitter and all the good quotes from the guys you just copy off of Twitter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you had to get them yourself.
Right.
So it was a dog-eat-dog world.
And from a camera point of view on television, the same thing.
Same thing. They have to get their
shot. You might get the best sound bite, but you're blocked out and you don't see the guy say it.
Right.
What good is it then? You
exactly.
need a picture. So it's a territorial war going on in post-game scrums.
It sure is. That was a hell of a move, though, wasn't it? And I made some of those in my career. The jump over the gym bag. Like, you want to block me out like you're Charles Barkley and keep me from doing my job, I'll jump right in front of you. You don't want to play nice where we can both get the quotes? I'll give you your camera angle and I can reach in with my tape recorder and we can both get the quotes. You want to get it all for yourself and block me out? I'm going to jump in front of you. That's what's going to happen.
How about if I politely ask you, excuse me, Joe, do you mind if I move in here just because we need a view?
Always did that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's normal. And in fact, would hold the mic sometimes for people from TV and radio.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get my mic in there?
Right.
Yeah, I'll hold it. Yeah, that's what normal people do.
It's easier to do that than try to get involved in a pushing match.
We're always helping each other, or should be. Somebody wants to block me completely out, Bob, it's going to get physical. And I threw some elbows in locker rooms as well. And I played basketball.
Bob McAdoo, elbow to the face.
And I played it pretty well. I know how to box out. I know how to use my lower body. And if I need to throw an elbow underneath the hoop, I will do that.
Okay, now I know not to get under your skin here.
It used to be that way. Now I won't go near a locker room. There's no need to. Everything's sanitized. Everything comes out from the team. Can barely sit down with people alone anymore. The turning of the tide happened in the Penguins locker room. In fact, I just saw him up on TV here. There he is, Max Talbot. A guy I thought I had a pretty good relationship with. You know, we would joke around, talk. He was great. Well, they got in their new locker room at the paint can.
Mm-hmm.
And what did it used to be called, Bob? What was its first name? I can't remember.
What,
was it
Pacific
always
Arena?
Consol Energy.
Energy Center. Yeah. Yeah. And we were in the locker room. And in order to do interviews, you know, if I wanted to do an interview with somebody whose locker was next to Max Talbot's, I would sit in his seat or anybody's seat. Like, the locker room's open. It's open. That was just common practice. And I remember I was sitting in his seat interviewing someone else, and he was all beside himself. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You know, he's like, that's my seat. Like, I thought he was kidding. Because everybody sits in everybody's seat when the media's in there. It's not like we're in an office building where I, you know, standing on your desk or something. And that's when it all started to turn for me, Bob. I'm like, you know what? Even hockey, where the interviews have always been great, even hockey's going to become this sanitized, boring, pampered athlete type situation. And I started to, you know, move away from locker rooms then and will never go back.
Well, now there's a lot of talk about taking media completely out of locker rooms.
Yeah.
And put them in hallways and just bring people that you want out to you.
Right. Of course. They don't want to have to answer for anything.
Yeah.
Why would they?
Sometimes the best things you get when you have just time on your own to go in and sit by someone who is not maybe a star of the game, but someone who has some role in it, and you can just sit there on your own and
right.
talk without a whole bunch of people around.
Yes.
You know, and that way it's different. It could be a sidebar story that no one else has.
Yeah.
That, they're taking that away from you.
They're almost gone. Almost gone. And it's a disservice to readers and listeners, but a lot of them don't care either because they hate the media so much. You know, they don't realize that by and large, sports media is trying to give them the best stories, the inside stories, things like that. It just, none of it matters anymore. Nothing matters anymore, Bob. Except, Starkey is depressing everybody.
You
says,
really are on a downer right now. We got to heat you up a little bit.
And then Jason and Slippery Rock, back to our conversation of a sumo wrestler covering every inch of the hockey goal, Bob, if mm-hmm. you put one in there. He says a sumo wrestler would have to weigh over 1,000 pounds in order to cover the whole goal by just standing there. Is there a person on earth right now that weighs over 1,000 pounds? Do you believe? Is that possible limits?
No, I'm sure it's possible.
He won't, even though sumo wrestling's over there, it won't be a normal Japanese or person because they don't eat anything and they're all, there's no obesity problems except for the sumo wrestlers, as you see, come in there. I don't know how much they weigh.
Is there a person on earth? Who's the heaviest person on earth? Can you look that up, limits? You're the beat writer.
I'm going to guess, though, 760 pounds would be my guess.
I'm going to guess the biggest person on earth weighs 830 pounds. That's my guess.
760. And this is like The Price is Right. If you go over, I could be done.
Yes, exactly. You have it yet?
There's no, like, when you search it, it doesn't say like an exact weight. So I have to go through a couple other channels here.
No, you don't, limits. I can look it up in 2 seconds.
Let's see if you find it for me.
John Brower Minnick. was an American man who's the heaviest recorded human in history.
Weighing approximately
1,400 pounds.
1,400 pounds.
I can't believe you'd be able to survive that.
Well, all you have to do is put him in the net. You just sit him there. Nobody
scores,
Bob.
Tonight's number one star, John Brower. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the shutout streak has expanded.
It's at 1,000 games now. Bob, this guy would have been incredible in goal. Are you kidding me? At 1,400 pounds, does he cover the whole net limits?
According to our texter here, yes, our tweeter.
See, I saw something that somebody beat John's record. That's what I was trying to find. Somebody named Juan Franco holds the Guinness record in 2018.
How much?
How much?
It doesn't say. Now, yeah, right around 1,400 pounds.
I don't know how you can sustain living with 1,400 pounds.
It'd be tough, for sure. Did you see the movie The Whale that won those Academy Awards?
No.
I mean, that guy did an unbelievable job of acting in that movie. Anywho, limits, I've interfered and perhaps ruined your Limitless Express. Please proceed.
All right. 19 years ago today, guys, the Steelers won Super Bowl 40.
What?
19 years ago today.
I was there.
And 8 years ago, something else happened on the same day.
What?
28-3 vanished into thin air.
Oh, I'll never forget that one. But go ahead, Limits.
And 1 year ago today, our friend Ron said goodbye. Now, his official retirement was on the 8th, but February 5th of 2024, Ron announced that he was retiring.
He announced it, that's right, on the 5th, and he left on the 8th. So the 5th, that was a shocker.
Well planned. He had it well planned.
I can't believe that. And there were a lot of tears shed that week. We had guests all week long, everybody from Ben to Bettis to Leland to Terry Francona, and finally punctuated by
Joe Willie Namath
and Joe Green. Even Joe Vinny Green. Vinny came on that week, Bob. Did you know that?
I knew it. I didn't hear it, but I knew he was scheduled to.
Man, does time fly. How about Super Bowl 40? I stood next to Dan Rooney in the auxiliary press section and said, "Do you still get nervous for these games?" He said no. He wasn't nervous that day. I'll never forget walking in. It was a Steeler home game in Detroit.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It just, the way they did it, first ever of its kind to go from winning on the road as a sixth seed and keep winning. So many great moments of that run. And then that Super Bowl itself was not a very aesthetically pleasing game.
No, it was a horrible game.
But there was a lot of stuff going on in it with people complaining about calls, Seattle whining about a lot of it.
They were right about some of it, but Antoine Randle threw one of the greatest passes in Super Bowl history. You know what doesn't get talked about enough, Bob, in my not-so-humble opinion? That was a really, really good Seahawks team. Like a really good team. They had an MVP in Sean Alexander. Hasselbeck had an outstanding year. They almost went undefeated, I'll have you know. They lost to the Cardinals by a touchdown. They lost to the Niners by 2 and the Colts by 6. They went 13-3, and then they beat the Drew Brees Saints, and then they beat the Niners. I mean, that was a good team.
Yeah, it was. Alexander was really good, too.
Wait a second. I have the wrong team. I'm sorry, Bob. Alexander was the MVP that year, wasn't he?
He was really good. I don't remember the yardage, but it was a lot.
What was their record that year, Bob? Yeah, they were 13-3. I did get that part right. And they lost in overtime to Washington by 6 to the Packers and the opener to the Jags. They were almost an undefeated team with a ton of talent on defense as well.
No question. But the Steelers, all they needed was a couple of things going on in that game and took a lot of pressure away from Ben Roethlisberger, who did not have one of his better games. But throughout those three wins prior to that, I thought he was outstanding the whole way through.
I have some trivia to ask both of you about that Super Bowl. You ready?
Yes.
The Steelers, we all know of Willie Parker's 75-yard run. We all know of Hines from Randle L for a 43-yard touchdown. Who scored the Steelers' other touchdown?
It was a running play. Was it Roethlisberger?
No. Yes, it was Ben.
It was a running play, right?
And that was a controversial play.
That was.
A one-yard run.
He dove in. I remember where the ball was and how it was spotted and all that stuff came into play.
The Seahawks only scored one touchdown. Who scored it? Anyone?
Hasselbeck.
Wrong.
No, that was my guess. Who was their star wide receiver that year?
They didn't have one.
Tight end.
No. Yes, it was a tight end.
Big guy. I can't remember his name,
the
though.
The guy Joey Porter had the quarrel with going into the game. Jeremy Stevens.
Stevens, that's it.
Right? Did he date Hope Solo? Or am I wrong about that? I'm sorry, Bob. I might have been wrong. The Steelers held, well, Sean Alexander had 95 yards in that game.
Yes, he did date Hope Solo.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's what I thought I remembered. Did you remember how many carries Jerome Bettis got in that game, Bob? You have to come within two to make it a good guess.
Eight.
Limits?
Oh, that was my guess. Eight.
You're both very wrong. 14 for 43 yards. Nobody cares. Back to the game.
Oh, my game?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the Super Bowl. I thought you were talking about Super Bowl 40. Back to the game. The union representing NFL officials attacks conspiracy theorists regarding favoritism for the Chiefs. The union rep for the refs called it preposterous and insulting that people would think that the refs are fixing the game towards the Chiefs and giving them favorable calls.
No, they're not fixing games toward the Chiefs, but they are giving them favorable calls. And the referees, nobody from any entity that's representing referees now or former referees should be piping up other than to say how embarrassing it is that the Chiefs got those calls all through the playoffs this year, and that in their home playoff games under Patrick Mahomes, they have an 81-55 advantage on penalties. They should be saying, I think this was a former ref speaking, man, that was embarrassing. Like, obviously, it's not fixed. We're not fixing games. But the officiating of the Chiefs' two home games this year were an embarrassment to all present, former, and future officials. We're embarrassed.
I think that's a prudent answer. I really do. You know, they say, and Goodell even yesterday said, we're always looking. That's a big thing of emphasis, making sure the officials get better. Well, you're admitting then that they're not good. And that's okay to say that. Say,
right.
You know. Yeah, we have concerns about that, too, because it's a bit disproportionate, and I understand it, I hear it, but there is no fixing. You can rule that out, but we do need to get better with some of these calls.
Unfortunately, this day and age, you can't rule anything out. I mean, there's stories popping left and right.
Who was the guy yesterday?
The NBA just had a story again on a guy.
Sharing an account, right?
That was in baseball,
Was that baseball?
Yeah,
no, the NBA guy left a game early recently, right? What was the NBA?
No, I remember the umpire in baseball who shared some sort of FanDuel account or some.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
yes.
And so he got terminated because of it.
They got to be careful, the NFL, with this holier-than-thou thing. NBA
But you're also in bed with these organizations.
Well, I know.
And people have accounts. It's, I mean, you're running into an area that is obviously going to be blurred.
You know, always been blurred, Bob. It would be
my argument. But it's blurrier now.
Yeah. Terry Rozier is the guy. Miami Heat's Terry Rozier under federal investigation for leaving a game early due to a right sore foot. I don't know when that game was played.
Why would he be under federal investigation? For a sore right foot?
Not for the right foot. Not because he had alleged sore right foot, Bob. It was an illegal gambling scheme.
But you said sore
right. No, I'm sorry. Leaving when somebody wants to bet, like they'll bet
you didn't
Terry
say
Rozier,
that, and I didn't see that story. You said he's being
right. So if people know you're leaving the game early, you're going to get all your unders.
How about if he has one of those explosions that Mulsey has all the time? You know,
wouldn't be good. I can tell you that.
You'd have to leave the game for that. Would you be allowed, or are they going to follow you into the bathroom and see if you're actually going on your phone and place a bet?
Good question. Limits. I'm sorry, Bob ruined the game.
I didn't ruin the game.
Yeah, he did.
You threw me off with that question.
Could I play for Bob what he wanted to hear with Jerome Bettis at the hockey game?
Yes.
Jerome Bettis, and he has something very special to tell us.
It's time for Hockey in Pittsburgh.
That's better than It's a Great Day for Hockey. Let's hear that again.
Jerome Bettis, and he has something very special to tell us.
It's time for Hockey in Pittsburgh.
That should be every game from now on, Bob.
I think the order was, it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh.
This was better. It was way better. And the only way
funny.
We can top it is with the big boy. And Mark Cabali is next on the show. And what a man he's become. I'm Bob in his old age.
Now he's everywhere. He's got podcasts coming at you. He's on The Showdown.
What's his pod? Does he have his own podcast now?
I think so, with Chris Mack.
Yeah. Him and Mack have a podcast.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get on that right away. I'll introduce him as such.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.